The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was Saturday afternoon, and Ray rushed to the local store to get some last-minute groceries before the big game. He needed some rolls and chips. And so he hoped to go to the 6-item express lane because every other lane was crowded. But then as soon as he got into the lane, this lady pulled in with a cart that was piled high with groceries. Well, he was fuming and thinking, why doesn't this lady notice the sign? It's an express lane. You're not supposed to do that. And he was wondering what is the cashier going to do or how they're going to deal with this situation. So her turn came and the cashier, this elderly woman, beckoned the lady to come forward, looked at the cart, looked at her and said, "So, dearie, which 6 items are you going to take today?" You know, at times you can wonder, well, how do you constantly manage situations in which people are doing what they shouldn't be doing? How do you constantly confront things that are wrong, or a world that turns to evil in so many ways, or simply things like your roommates not doing the dishes or leaving things all over the apartment, or, you know, your people in your group, in your study group, not doing their part of the work, and so on? How do you deal with those things? And you wonder also, how does God does that, right? How does God deal with a world that turns to evil so many times? And I think there's 3 different possibilities for it. There's 2 basic responses. One of them is hopelessness. Is to think, well, everything is corrupt and there's nothing that can be done with this world, and I just give up. And we may think, well, maybe God has given up on this world. Another solution is, well, I'll be as tough as they are, right? I'll be as, you know, as fierce and stern as people are. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and kind of face, confront evil with evil and force with force. Now, you can notice that God didn't choose any of these paths, because God didn't give up on this world. Also, God is not showering fire and brimstone on us all the time. But he chose a third path, and that is to counter evil with goodness. It's to counter evil with goodness without losing hope. And that is the only one path that allows for the conversion of those who have taken the wrong turn. That's the only path that really allows for a change of heart, right? All the others kind of close the door to that. And that is the path that the whole life of Jesus represents. You know, his whole life portrays that love of God for us and that patience with us. But notice that also because of choosing that path, that entails that Jesus decided to take up the cross. He decided to endure rejection, the misunderstanding of many, or the wrong judgment, or even the evil judgment of many people, just to allow for them to a time to change. He didn't lose hope, but he had to endure challenges. And I understand also why Peter rebels against that idea, because he says, well, if the teacher took up the cross, that means that I need to take up my cross in some regards too. So it's a bit of a challenging path, but I think it's the one, again, that opens up hope that the world can change, that we can change. So I propose that we reflect a bit on that. What does it mean for us as Catholics to follow Christ on this path of patient endurance of evil many times, and of taking up our cross? Well, let me offer three reflections on this, or three keys on how to go about it. Now, the first one is about when not to endure the cross, I would say. And that means discern whether maybe I should walk out of the situation. Because many times, we are called to remain at the helm of the boat. We need to steer the ship, right? It's my responsibility. I cannot run away from that. Maybe, I don't know, if my brother is suffering, my mom is going through this rough time, I need to stick with them. But many other times, there are crosses that are not supposed to be my cross. Maybe I'm in this situation that is simply too difficult for me to withstand, and it will just make me sink and lose hope. I remember one time there was a young woman at the Newman Center back in Oregon that was dating this guy, and it was a very, very unhealthy relationship. Very, controlling on his part. He was someone who was obviously mentally not very well. And I told this lady, you cannot do that. You cannot be in that relationship. It's destroying you. And she said, but Father, I need to love. I need to bear my cross. And I said, no, that's not your cross. I mean, this man needs love, but he needs to be loved by other people. If you try to save someone from drowning and you're going to drown with him, that's not going to help either of you. So, you know, that's not your cross. Maybe a cross for his family, for people who can help him, for a counselor. But for you, you're not going to be of much help, and it's going to cause a lot of damage. Well, maybe you notice also, as you want to follow the path of Christ on a campus or with friends, that some people around you are not really a good influence. I mean, it's not simply that they take more patience than usual. It's more like they really bring you down. I mean, you're around them and you feel like it's really hard not to drink too much or get into drugs or get into bad behavior, bad conversations. And you may realize, well, at times it's not that I need to bear this cross and be strong. At times I need to just, maybe for a time, distance myself from those situations because I'm not strong enough. And a cross is not something that should crush me and make me lose my faith and my charity and my sense of goodness. So maybe the question here is first of all, are there any situations like that in your life? Any exposure to evil, to maybe poor examples or unhealthy situations that you should simply walk away from? And then there are situations in the second place in which we need to bear the cross patiently, as the psalm would say, be patient and trust in the Lord. And there are times in which, yes, you need to bear that cross with calm and with hope. And our tendency, if you're like me, is that we want to fix things right away. Well, this is wrong. This class is wrong, has a wrong focus. Or this, my dorm is not doing things. This is not right. And I want to come in and reform everything. Well, maybe if you do that, you're going to clash right away. And you're going to cause a huge commotion and then just simply have to leave or walk away from the situation. That's not going to help. I remember in the life of a great convert, John Henry Newman, was a great, great mind in the church in the 1800s. He became a tutor in Oriel College in Oxford, great scholar. But because he wanted to reform things, his provost didn't finally assign him any students. So Newman found himself with basically a lot of free time in his hands. He had no one to guide. And so he began to read the Fathers of the Church. And that led eventually to starting the Oxford movement, this renewal movement in the Church of England, and then eventually led him to become Catholic. with many other people in his circle. Well, think of it. If Newman had lost hope, if he had said, well, I'm rejected by my provost and people among the faculty, I'm just going to walk away from Oxford. I mean, what a loss that would have been, right? And he stayed and was able to transform and improve things over time. And the same thing may happen in your school, in a job that you may get. You may sense, well, it's such a secular school. Maybe in many classes I hear things that attack the Catholic faith or the church, and it's kind of hard to stand. And I wonder, should I just walk away? And I say, no. I mean, if you can take that, stay in your post. Be patient. Because when you bear your cross patiently, that bears fruit in the long term. And you are a light in a place where Christ needs you to shine that light. Now, I cannot tell you how, when I first came to Oregon about 10 years ago, so many students were saying, this is such a secular place, and my family are wondering if I should just transfer to another school. And I said, no, wait. And eventually, I can tell you, that college community, the Catholic community on campus, grew so much and became so strong that people in different places were talking about that. It says, you Catholics at Oregon State. And families were saying, I thought of sending my kids to a Catholic college, but then I heard of you guys, what you're doing there, and I think that you have something going on. And that's actually, a tremendous grace that God has given us, because many times, if you are in a secular campus, but also in a strong Catholic community, you grow strong in your identity as a Catholic, but then also you know how to interact with a world that has many different, very different values from Christianity. And that's a good skill to have in today's day and age. And finally, a third suggestion also, which maybe is the most challenging one, but I think it's also very promising, is to trace a path of faithful goodness in countering evil. When you encounter evil, don't respond with evil, but with goodness. And that's obviously the path that Christ chose. And it ranges from all different kinds of things, like being patient with your brother at home when he's obnoxious or annoying, to being patient with classmates and roommates or teachers or study groups, to also dealing with people who are really doing a lot of harmful things and maybe really go against you. There was this story of a man who lived in California, Jesse. He's a convert, a revert to the Catholic faith. And he says the first step in my coming back to faith was in police academy. Because I was not really close to God, he says, and I was a jerk. I was really giving people a hard time, especially this guy in my class. I was constantly messing up his hair, stepping on his shoes, making him look bad before other people. And at the end of the year, this man came to me with a gift. And I says, you are giving me a gift? He says, yeah, I thought of this and I'm giving this to you. So Jesse opened this up. It was a Bible. And it had a dedication, which said, Jesse, this book has helped me to stand through trials. I hope it will also guide you in your path. Well, Jesse said, I had not been really a practicing Catholic up to that point, but the gesture of this man, who instead of responding to evil with evil, or turning me, or go to our director and telling him what I was doing, he just decided to respond with goodness. It was like the seed, planted the seed that began my change. It was one person who returned good for evil. That was at the root of my change of heart. And now today, this man, Jesse, is a great, a strong Catholic, a preacher. But that was a seed. Maybe when you return, think of that. In the moment, we don't see it so much. But when you respond in the face of evil with goodness, that can plant the seed of something powerful. And also, I can tell you this. When you're in a difficult environment, but you persevere in doing the right thing, usually God puts great people around you. I mean, you're not just surrounded by bad people. You soon start to notice how you start to connect with people who are seeking the same thing. And you start to grow with good friends and a solid community around you. And my prayer and my hope for you is that you can find that here at AU Catholic, that you can form those good friendships with other people of faith, other people who want to do the right thing. So may we pray. Let us pray for us, that we may have this strength from Christ to bear our cross and not to lose hope in the face of challenges. Lord Jesus, give me the patience to bear my cross, to stay in the path of goodness, even when I see poor examples around me or I find rejection. Remind me in those moments, Lord, that evil things will pass away, but your word will not pass away, that you are always here with us, that the meek will inherit the land. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.